Well, welcome on this New Year's Eve. I take as my text this evening Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Let's pray. Father God, we do pray on this New Year's Eve that you would speak to us and that you would give us a message from your word that would carry us through the year ahead for your glory. Amen. William Randolph Hearst, the newspaper owner, died in 1951. He revolutionized journalism, and his career was the model for the film Citizen Kane, starring Orson Welles. He was fabulously wealthy, and over the years invested a fortune in collecting great works of art. One day he read of some valuable pieces and he wanted them, so he sent his agent to track them down. It was several months before the agent returned and reported to Hearst he'd found the works Hearst wanted, but it would not be possible to buy them. The truth was, they were already sitting in Hearst's own warehouse. He'd purchased them years before. Now, many Christians are like Mr. Hearst, desperately searching for and longing to possess what already belongs to them. The Christians Paul is writing to in Colossae are in that category. Someone has got to them and influenced them into looking for more of God than they already have in Jesus Christ. And Paul is urging them not to fall for it. Why? Not because he doesn't want them to have more of God. He does. But he knows that Christ is the treasure house where God has hidden all his treasures. So perhaps you can identify with these Colossian Christians. They'd lost sight, as we sometimes do, of who Jesus is. They'd grown a bit muddled in their spirituality and had begun to devalue him. They were saying Christ was not adequate to meet their needs, to deal with their enemies, or provide them with the security they needed. And Paul says, please see who Jesus is. See that God has hidden all his treasures in Christ. See him as he truly is, as the integrating center of the whole of reality. So who is Jesus? Well, to begin with, verse 15, can we see as we look down? He is the image of the invisible God. So how do we know a God we cannot see? Where do we start? Well, the word image here is literally icon. It is the word used for an exact representation or a precise copy. It's the word used for a portrait. It is the legal word used in business for a certificate of identity. So to call Jesus the image of God, the icon of God, is to say that he is the perfect portrait of God. John 1, verse 18 reminds us that no one has ever seen God, but his Son has made him known. He alone, Hebrews 1, verse 3, reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature. So if you want to see what God is like, look at Jesus. In him, the invisible becomes visible. Do we get that? In him, the invisible becomes visible. When we look at Jesus, we can say, this is what God is like. Here is the picture of God in human flesh. So there is nothing of God that we need to know that cannot be seen in Jesus. The mind of Jesus is the mind of God. The words of Jesus are the words of God. The actions of Jesus are the actions of God. The attitudes of Jesus are the attitudes of God. So God is not holding back anything from us that will not be found in Jesus. If you know him, you know God. So let me ask you on this New Year's Eve, do you know him? Well, there is an opportunity to discover him in the year ahead. And there is a little course, Christianity Explored. You can sign up for it. We look at the person of Jesus in Mark's gospel. Now, what a New Year's resolution that would be, to get to know the God who's made you as he's revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And I'm now going to use an offensive four-letter word, and it's a word that, if used in the media, would produce a barrage of letters, emails, faxes, and phone calls in protest. What is the four-letter word? It's the word only. That's the religious four-letter word. You see, Jesus isn't only one of many gods. He is the one and only. The Bible says this again and again. Only Christ makes God known to us. So Waterstones, the bookshop, recently had a promotion on spiritual books called With You in Spirit, the best in inspirational writing. And they'd chosen 50 recommended titles. And the Bible was there in the authorized version, alongside all sorts of religions, Feng Shui, Islam's Quran, even witchcraft was there. So the leaflet with the promotion proclaimed, whatever your interest, meditation or prayer, fire walking or kung fu, yogic flying or shamanic drumming, you'll find something to suit your personality. And Colossians 1:15, can we see, is saying that every one of those 50 books should have been about Jesus Christ, because only Christ can reveal God to us. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness revealed in him. It's hard to get across just how great a view of Jesus this is. So John Stott has written, to relegate Christianity to one chapter in the book of world religions is to Christian people intolerable. Jesus Christ to us is not one of the many spiritual leaders in the history of the world. He is not one of Hinduism's many, many gods. He is not one of the 40 prophets recognized in the Quran. To us, he is Jesus. Nothing can be added to that. He is unique. He has no peers, no rivals, no successors. It means that we cannot think too highly of him on this New Year's Eve. Do you realize that? We cannot think too highly of Jesus. There is nothing of God to be known which is not in Jesus. God is not holding back anything else, anything back that is not to be found in Jesus. Again, I say to you, if you know Jesus, you know God. Verse 19, all God's fullness dwells in him. He is utterly supreme. So that is Jesus in relation to God. He is the exact image of God. Do you know him? The success or failure of life depends on whether I know him, for he stands at the pinnacle of history. But secondly, in this passage, it also speaks of Jesus in relation to the world. Now hold on to your seats. Just absorb this New Year's Eve, verse 16. Can we see verse 16 and 17? For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And there are three little words, three prepositions to hold on to in our hearts this New Year's Eve. They are mind-stretching. Can we see them? Let's have a look at them. This is what we want to hold on to. By him, for him, in him. That is, as I head into 2011, that is to be my life breath. I'm going to live by him, I'm made by him, for him, I'm sustained in him. So those words, I wonder if you can hold on to them as we head into the year ahead. So first of all, Christ is the agent of creation. Can we see as we look down? Verse 16. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, all things. You see, there is no point in saying Jesus is God, in asserting his deity, if he wasn't involved in the creation. And here Paul has the whole vista of creation in view. There's a clear echo here of John 1 verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So in Genesis 1, when we read and God said, God's word creating the universe wasn't simply a meaningful sound. It was personality. It was God making everything through his eternal Son. Jesus was that word. So from the galaxies to the smallest subatomic particle, the supreme fact, the ultimate explanation is not M theory or whatever. It is the loving self-expression and overflow of God through Christ. It's a little bit like the Christopher Wren Memorial in the basement of St. Paul's Cathedral. So the words there, if you go to that memorial in the basement, are, if you seek his monument, look around you. If you seek his monument, look around you. Wren expressed himself in those mighty walls and in the great dome. He did not need another epitaph. And Paul says that the deity and the greatness of Christ is clearly seen in what he has made. So Table Mountain, the Grand Canyon, the Rift Valley, the lakes in this country. Look around you. Verse 16, by him all things were created. Secondly, all things were created not just by him, but secondly, for him. So Christ is not only the agent of creation, he's also the goal of creation. It is created for him. I say again, all things were created by him and for him. Abraham Kuyper was the founder of the Free University in Amsterdam and the Prime Minister of the Netherlands in 1901 and 1905. And famously he said, there is not one square inch of the whole domain of human existence over which Christ may not cry, mine, mine. So creation is to bring Christ pleasure and to do his bidding. It is to bring him honor and glory. Now, I don't know if you've thought about that as we look into the year ahead. But actually, all of you, all your being is to be in the year ahead for Christ, for his pleasure, for his glory. So nothing in creation exists for its own sake. Everything from the bottom of the oceans to the top of the mountains, from the smallest particle to the biggest star, from the most boring school subject to the most fascinating science, from the ugliest cockroach to the most beautiful human being, everything exists to make the greatness of Christ more fully known. And in 2011, that, of course, includes you. You were made by him and for him, verse 16. And just in case we're tempted to turn our backs on that, just in case as we hear that call to the fact that we're made by him and to live for him, just in case we say, well, look, I'm not prepared to see history as his story. I'm actually about my life. Just in case we're tempted to say, well, nobody tells me how to live and what I'm to live for. Just in case that sentiment of rebellion creeps into our hearts. Well, verse 17 is there to rebuke us. Can we see verse 17? The reality of it. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hebrews 1, verse 3. He sustains all things by his powerful word. So at the heart of the universe, there is personality, there is authority, there is security, there is love. And all those things exist in Christ. He makes a cosmos instead of a chaos, says Lightfoot. And that little phrase, all things, resonates through this passage, as if to underline there is nothing, absolutely nothing, outside the power and authority of Jesus. And that includes the forces, the powers, the authorities, the things we can't control, the things that frighten us, the things that we don't want. So nothing you can see, nothing you can't see, nothing from the past, nothing from the present, nothing from the future is outside the scope of Christ's authority. Yes, sometimes we groan in a fallen world, along with the creation groaning. And our lives, actually, sometimes they look like the back of a tapestry. There's a jumble of meaningless threads. It's a mess. But there is a breathtakingly beautiful picture towards which we are all working and heading towards on the other side. Ephesians 1, verse 10, to unite all things under Christ in heaven and on earth. That is what we are working towards. That is the Father's plan. So my life may feel like the different threads of a tapestry from behind, but from the front, that is where history is heading. It is all under Christ's authority. As John Wesley wrote, he is the cement as well as the support of the universe. He is the ultimately in control. So Christ is the image of God, and all things, you included, were created by him, for him, and they hold together in him. I don't know, as you head into 2011, if that will be your heartbeat, but may it be your heartbeat as we look into it. I'm created by him. I'm created for him. Every breath I have is from him. I'm sustained in him. And as I hold to that, I align myself with God's plan for the universe. What a wonderful year we'll have if we walk hand in hand with the Creator who gives us each breath.